You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited for today's guest. Cole Hatter is the founder of Thrive, Make Money Matter, an entrepreneur, an investor, and an award-winning speaker. Thrive, Make Money Matter is a unique event. It's an event geared towards entrepreneurs achieving more to be able to do more for others. Make Money Matter means to do well in business, to then be able to be in the position to financially give back and focus on giving back whatever way resonates. Cole is an incredible speaker and has been interviewed on TEDx, Business Rockstars, The Cardone Show, and The Art of Charm, and many, many more. So I'm excited to welcome Cole Hatter to Making Bank. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, bro. Love the name of the show.
Haha, thanks. Yeah, it's came up with that 3 years ago. I've been shooting now.
Nice.
And trademarked and everything, so.
Good.
But cool. You know, dude, like I was telling you at the beginning of the show, like you're always like in the circles. I have a lot of friends that connect and, you know, friends of yours and everything. So, and it's kind of followed you and seen what you've been doing from a distance. So it's super exciting to be able to have you on, learn about your story, and just be able to dive into what insights, I mean, all the people that you've been able to have at your events and that you get to pick the brains of and all the success strategies that you've been able to utilize over the years. Just super excited to dig in and dive in today with that with you.
Likewise, bro. I'm excited to be here.
Cool. Well, so tell me a little bit about your background and kind of what got you started as an entrepreneur and on this journey. Did it happen more recent? It was happened when you were a kid? Like, where, kind of gear us in.
Kind of both. I guess my first entrepreneurial endeavor did start in childhood. The first I can think of is I went door to door and sold mistletoe at Christmas to make money. You know, one bundle for $3, two bundles for $5. I'll never forget it. I was at Macy's with my dad and I saw them selling it there. And I was like, this stuff grows for free at the trees in my backyard. I'm going to pull it out for free and sell it. So that was it. But the first time I actually started a business that had employees and like paid taxes and like actually filed articles of incorporation was at 21. But I did have firefighting in the middle there. So as a career, I wanted to be a firefighter. I graduated high school, became a firefighter. And then I got in a car accident and I was in a wheelchair for a little bit and had to learn how to walk again. And while I was in that year of physically recovering from my car accident, because I was ejected from the car and I got really, really hurt, that's when I started my first real business that I still own now 13 years later. So it's been a 13-year journey since 2005 that I became a official entrepreneur, if you will. And I've probably started 30 businesses. 24 to 25 of them have failed. Several of them have failed miserably and cost me money. But the four or five that I've gotten correct, have more than compensated me, more than all my losses, and have made it all worth it. So
that's awesome. You know,
I've got a huge failure record, but the successes have made it all worth it. And that's kind of it. That's the journey right there.
That's awesome. I've had 15 companies since I was 14. And so, like you said, it's those one or two that just, you know, hit and, you know, make it and stuff. But I think it's the learning process of all the other ones that, you know, help you make those other ones a success.
Well, totally. And everyone's always talking about fear of failure and all that stuff. That's not what this is. It's just knowing the law of averages and having realistic expectations. You know, not all your businesses are going to work, right? And so, you know, you hear all these successes of the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs, rest his soul, and the Elon Musks, and you see their big iconic businesses, but I wonder how many they had that failed. You know, there's Zuckerberg who got drunk and accidentally invented Facebook. It's the only business he's had and made him a billionaire. Okay, cool, but he's an anomaly. Most of us, you know, 9 out of 10 of the times fail, but we're willing to go to that 10th time, right? And so anyway, whoever's listening to this who just got their butt kicked in a business and is wondering whether to go get a job again or not, I would encourage you just keep trying. You'll figure it out.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's finding kind of what aligns that you love, but also what, you know, people are going to receive as well, I think, for sure. So I know you said you went to school and you became a firefighter and then, you know, obviously we're in an accident. You said that. What was kind of that light switch or that transition in your mind, you know, when you're trying to recover and get back to really switch that over, you know, to focus on something different? Or did you even think you were going to get out of, I guess, the wheelchair?
Yeah. So I had to learn to walk again. And as a result, I had to like practice walking for three times a day for an hour. I'd literally have to go outside and walk with my little cane. And so I was out in my, and I had to move back with my parents' house. I guess there's more context. I got so injured in that car accident, I had to move back home with mom and dad, because the first month or two after the accident, I literally had to be like fed, carried to the toilet. Like it was bad. I got ejected out of the car at 80 miles an hour. So my body hit the pavement going 80. I had to be flown in a helicopter to a trauma center. Like it was really bad. So I'm at home with my parents being hand fed and like carried to the toilet. Then I get on my feet again and I'm practicing walking. And as I'm making circles in their cul-de-sac, their neighbor, beautiful home, nice cars. They had that whole lifestyle, but they were always around, like, you know, in the middle of the day while I'm practicing walking at 2 PM, everybody else's house was empty because the parents were at work. These guys were always around. It was like they were unemployed and rich at the same time. And so I just said, what do you guys do? And long story short, they were real estate investors. And so, you know, they didn't have set hours. They worked as hard as anyone else. But in the middle of the day, they'd be home because they were working out of their houses on their listings and things like that, right? Their different flips. So I said, screw it. That's what I'm going to do too. And that was the first business I started, was being a real estate investor. And I still own that company 13 years later. It did very well. Like most people, I lost everything in 2008, shut it down, had to figure things out again. 2011, got started again and went on to make millions of dollars. So that was really it. It was just out in the cul-de-sac practicing walking with every intention of being a firefighter again, but not knowing how well I'd heal. And by the way, I'm sitting in a chair now. I'm completely healthy. I have no long-term injuries from that, but not knowing in the time how well I'd physically recover and if firefighting would ever be an option. I needed to find something else to do in the meantime. Started my real estate investment business, enjoyed it so much that I just stuck with it and never went back to firefighting.
That's awesome. And obviously you said you multiple businesses that you've owned over the years, kind of taking that and, you know, starting your real estate business from your accident. I mean, what was kind of like that big aha lesson that you kind of took from that whole thing?
Well, from the car accident or starting the business?
I guess that in that kind of that whole from, yeah, the car accident to then moving into your business.
I guess if I wanted to really go like 100,000 foot overview of what lessons I was learning is just that being an entrepreneur, I had more stability and more control. Even though growing up, I was told having a degree and a job was stability. Mm. I realized that my job was firefighting, and with physical injuries, that job was not an option.
Sure.
And because I was not on duty, my buddies and I was off duty when the car accident happened. So if I was in the fire truck responding to the scene of a 911 call and got my injury, everything would have been fine. The fact that I was in a car with my buddies and not on duty, it's like sucks for you, buddy. So the point is, I realized having a job is less secure than knowing how to make money. So I guess what I realized in that is whether I'd ever physically heal or not, or regardless of what the world does, me learning how to make money on my own versus relying on knowing a skill set or a craft that someone else will compensate me for, which is what work is. As a firefighter, I had those skill sets. As an accountant in a Fortune 500 company, as a freaking secretary, you all have these skill sets that you're compensated for. Me, instead of having a skill set that someone paid me for, creating skill sets of how to make money on my own, I realized was way more of a security than this illusion that school had taught me. If I get a degree and have a job, that's security. It's like, well, no. As long as my income relies on someone else's signature being on my paycheck, there's insecurity because that guy has to, or gal has to keep signing that check. But when I'm making my own money, I have freedom to, you know, win and lose, of course, but at least have the skill sets to make myself money forever.
And, you know, and I think having those skill sets, like you mentioned, is, I think that's something everybody should have at some point. I mean, like right now I have twin boys that are 8, my daughter's almost 10. And I mean, I've been working with them and teaching them since they were young about entrepreneurship and this, and, you know, they all have like their own little business, whether it's stuff local. My daughter has an online business, e-com business, selling pet products and everything that she makes. And so I think understanding and having those skills is, I think, key and important, especially with the way things are, you know, with the way the economy and schools changing and everything overall. So you have your real estate business. When did Thrive, your event and everything, actually start and take place?
So that was 2015. I've had two entrepreneurial seasons, 2005 to 2008, where I'm killing it. I'm 22 years old, making, you know, maybe $500,000 a year. So I was not a seven-figure income earner, but I had way more money than a 22-year-old should have. And I was just an idiot, and I was blowing it on Escalades and wakeboard boats and stuff. So when the recession came, I didn't have any reserves because I assumed I'd make money like that the rest of my life. I was like,
yeah.
And so, you know, as an entry-level firefighter, I'm making $42,000 a year. Flipping houses, I'm making $200,000 per flip, right? It's like, what was I doing as a firefighter? Bottom line is I lost it all in 2008, got started again in 2011. And in that season of 2008 to 2011, I went through a lot. I actually lived in Mexico for 7 months. I worked with women and children who are victims of human trafficking, and I started an orphanage. And it was in that season of helping people, and I had turned my back on business, literally moved out of America to Mexico, and I was just going to be basically a missionary, like full-time humanitarian worker the rest of my life. And I was living off my savings. Even though I'd lost everything in the recession, I had maybe $12,000 left to my name, which may sound like a lot to some people, but when you're used to making six figures a month, right? Or in some months, I would have a six-figure month. That's not much money. But in Mexico, it certainly lasted a long time. And so I'm living off my savings, helping people. And I realized, dang, if I would have more money than just this little bit I had saved, I could help even more people in a larger capacity. So went back to the States spring of 2011 and started businesses that didn't just make money but gave back. I came to a very clear T in the road where I said, okay, I want to help others so I can go back to America and raise support, which is what a lot of missionaries do, of just going to churches and friends and saying, hey, can you give me $100 a month so I can live and down in Mexico and help these women and children and these people who need my help. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people support those types of initiatives. They give to their favorite charity or whatever. But I realized, man, it's probably a lot harder to ask you, Josh, to just give me money because you want to see me do good work than if I sold you this hat. Now you got to have a hat. And so I said, if I started a business, what was selling products and services that people wanted, it'd be way easier to get their money. And then I would figure out a way within that business to have the money I need to make the impact in the world. Instead of just asking for a charitable donation, I'm going to sell you something and make that thing have enough baked in profits to help fund my orphanage in Mexico. That was my thought, kind of like Tom's shoes. He's going to sell a pair of shoes and then give a pair of shoes away. I started those businesses in 2011. They blew up. I was interviewed on podcasts of friends of mine like John Lee Dumas and others that have big reaches where I'm getting bombarded by messages of people that are like, oh my gosh, I've always like, how do you do that? I want to run a business that doesn't make money but gives back. And so then my wife and I are like, screw it, let's do an event one time to teach people what we've done on our own of taking a regular business like a real estate investment business or like I have a digital marketing agency. Let's show them how we took those and how they don't just make money, which we do very well for ourselves financially, but they actually give back. That was the beginning of it. It was a one-off event. Let's do this once. And it was so well reviewed, and Inc., Forbes, Huffington Post, and Entrepreneur all said this was the number one must attend event. It was amazing. We're like, screw it. Let's just keep going. And so this will be the fourth Thrive this fall in September. But that was really it, dude. It was just an evolution of my own entrepreneurial experience, sharing that message and that journey, having people respond, listening to podcasts like this one that said, geez, I want that. So we're like, all right, cool. Show up to Vegas on these dates. We got you.
That's cool. It's interesting, too. You mentioned about, you know, being able down in Mexico, helping with the human trafficking and everything too. Years ago, I used to own a bunch of CrossFit gyms and everything as well. And one of the things we did is we raised a ton of money for OUR, Operation Underground Railroad, for Tim and all those guys. And this is way before Tony Robbins got involved and Russell Brunson and all these guys with it. So it was cool to, you know, find, you know, that's something that you were down there passionate about doing and stuff. And I know that's, you know, we've aligned with it and with our other company that we have. In the skincare field and everything, you know, we've dedicated to donate a lot of, you know, funds to be able to help OUR and, you know, some of the other companies out there that do that and everything. So for sure. So you got Thrive started and you're doing that and you're helping other people figure out how to, you know, set up ways to be able to give back and everything and, you know, and help people that may not have as much or, you know, in that field from the event, I guess, and being able to interview and connect with all the different speakers that you've had come in, as well as the guests and everything. I guess, what are some of the key things that you've learned that you've been able to teach other people, you know, along your journey?
Yeah, so it's been really cool to get to rub elbows with some of the most iconic people out there, like Les Brown, right? And, you know, Jack Canfield, author of Chicken Soup for the Soul. And then, you know, some of the people that are on their way up now, like the Grant Cardones and the Gary V's and all this stuff. And, you know, I've learned so many specific things to the individual that I'm hanging out with. But as a general sense, they've got a ton of energy. Like, you know, what's his name? Grant Cardone, 60 years old. He's got way more energy than I do. And I would say energy for his business, if that makes sense. So like we all have exhausting days, but that guy's on fire. And so is Gary Vee. I mean, the guy works 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? And so One thing I've seen about these people who out there, you hear their podcasts and read their New York Times bestselling books and you see them making hundreds of millions of dollars a year, they don't do that very passively sitting around sipping cocktails and working 2 hours a week. So I guess one thing I've noticed about all of them is they have insane, incredible work ethic. But some of them, maybe not Gary Vee, but some of them have a really great balance too, where they take that tenacity that they put in their business into their personal lives as well, and they go all in. So they go all in income generation, going nuts, then they shut it down, they go all in family time, vacation time, et cetera, right? And so, and I think Gary's kind of coming around that corner. I watched him recently say something like he was going on a 1 week vacation. I was like, oh my gosh, he needs to check his temperatures. Is he coherent right now, right? That's not what he does.
Yeah.
But so that would be one thing. Another thing is they all have great teams. You know, I don't know anyone that got to that level as a solopreneur, which is a huge push right now. And I get it. You know, I work from home, but I have an 800 square foot office attached to my house where my employees are working right now on the other side of the house. So although I do work from home, I do have a team, right? I've never met someone who's at the top who does it all by themselves. Now, there are many seven-figure income earners, like e-commerce people who listen to your show, that from their laptop on the North Shore of Hawaii watching the pipeline, you know, competition, are making seven figures all by themselves. Cool. And that's awesome. But specific to the ones you're talking about who are on Thrive's stage, who have hundreds of thousands or even million plus followers on social media channels and are making nine figures or multiple eight figures, those people all have incredible teams. And so that's one thing I've learned and copied was, you know, I very much was a solopreneur in the sense that it was my real estate investment business, but everybody was independently contracted. It's like my realtor and it's my contractor and it's all these people that work for me, but they're not on payroll. They're working for anybody. They're just to actually have an internal team was a huge game changer for me. So I would say those are two things for the listeners of the show to really think about is, you know, you gotta show up with energy. You gotta freaking absolutely time block and destroy your days. Like, don't get distracted watching butterflies and 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Like, go nuts, head down, and then end it, and then go nuts in your personal life. Don't just kind of, I don't know, fudge those lines and then also have a great team.
Sure. No, I think those are some awesome points. I mean, even like, we've had to do that over the years. It's just, you know, like our skincare company will hit 8 figures this year. And so, but we have 40 people on our team to make it happen, whether it's production, shipping, fulfillment, customer service, whatever that may be. And, you know, I have 5 people that help run the back end of the podcast and my show and everything as well. And what was interesting when I first started this, I was doing it all myself, shooting, editing, images, and all of a sudden I'm like, holy crap, I'm working like 30 hours a week and this sucks. This is no fun. I'm like, I gotta figure out a better way to make this happen. So I created like this whole automated solution that kind of automated about 80% of it. And then you still had it, you know, and everything. So it chopped it down to like 10 hours a week or something. And then I was able to give that to somebody to follow and flow with. So
that's huge.
Yeah, it is. And it's, but you're right. It's the being able to have a team, you know, automate stuff, processes, systems. And then, you know, the whole thing you mentioned about family, I think is super important too. Just one of the things, and it's hard too, is like you mentioned like balance and everything else. And, you know, for years it was just like, okay, man, how can I balance all of this with the companies and time? But for it, I think it came down to the integration. When you're able to integrate your business and your personal life to where it's just something you love, something you do, and it's always happening around you. But your family's part of it as well. And I think when you can do that too, that helps you elevate to that next level overall. Then, you know, cool, go hard, but there's always still going to be, you know, that teeter-totter effect of trying to make sure, do I have enough time here? Did I get enough time there?
Right. So, totally. No, 100%.
Tell me a little bit about Thrive. What, you know, I guess, because I haven't been to the event. I love it. I'm going to definitely come here next month or 2 months from now, I guess, whenever it is here, September. Definitely want to come attend it, check it all out. All my friends speak highly about it. So kind of give somebody that hasn't heard of it the overview and why they should be there.
It's a three-day business conference. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, this September 14th, 15th, and 16th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Some of the names we've been talking about are the speakers who come, like the Gary Vee, Robert Hershevek from Shark Tank. This year, we've got Eric Thomas coming. Ed Mylett is coming. Jesse Itzler, the guy that founded Zico Water and the private jet company, he's going to be there speaking. Just like legendary people. Gerard Adams, who sold Elite Daily at $50 million at 25 years old. Lori Harder, a couple of other people that I'm not supposed to mention yet because they're not released. But there's just I'm very blessed to say that we get the review that we have the best speaker lineup of any event ever. It's, you know, normally you have a lot of people who are up and comers who you may or may not know, and then two or three real high keynotes. Everybody that comes to Thrive is massive. So it's some of the smartest people in the world teaching you how to make money in today's economy, right? The things you said it earlier, things are changing. You have 17-year-old kids that run e-commerce stores in their junior year of high school that are driving Ferraris to school now. That's never happened before in the world. And they're all over social media. You see these Casey Adams and all these guys that are just killing the game in their mid-teens, you know, Caleb Maddox, etc. So bottom line is it's those types that teach you how to crush it in business. And then the theme is make money matter. And it's a lot of what we were talking about earlier. We teach people how to not just make money, but then encourage them to make it matter by running what's called a for-purpose business. And so if someone thinks I'm an idiot and they would never want to be charitable, you're going to live a very sad life, but you can still come to Thrive and at least learn how to make more money. But I imagine you're going to want to make a bigger impact than just buying yourself stuff. I've never met someone that says, you know what, I want to get rich and give nothing to anyone ever. I want to die and have a bunch of stuff lying around. I've never met that person yet. Even that person would get a ton out of Thrive, but most of the attendees come to learn how to make more money than they ever have, to create what's called a for-purpose business, to make more impact than they ever imagined. Because I truly believe that nonprofits are cool, but they have a flawed and broken economic model that they're out there changing the world. But if people like you and I aren't donating to them, they're out of business. Why don't the businesses of the world that have all the money solve the world's problems? And so that's what I'm doing. There's a lot of entrepreneurs like that. It sounds like you're doing that too. That, you know, whether it's just as simple as making money and connecting to a charity and being charitable, or within your organization itself, like Tom's did, actually giving some of your product and service away. And so I'm all about that. And that's what Thrive is. And, you know, very high level publications like Inc. and Forbes and all these guys say it's the number one must attend event. So we're super honored, super blessed. And this is going to be the best year yet.
Cool. What I know you kind of mentioned a couple ideas right there. So say somebody, like, you know, they're listening to this show right now and they're like, man, okay, cool. I want to come to Thrive, but I really want to get started kind of trying to give back today. And I know you mentioned, hey, go find your great, you know, a charity, or, you know, hey, okay, maybe they don't have the way to be able to give one away every time they sell one. You know, what are some creative ways that you have found or worked with other companies on to be able to start to give back today and help others?
Yeah. So what I would say, if somebody's like ready to get started now, is there's two easy ways to get started. You can, if you're in a service-based business where there is no physical product, you're doing some type of service like a consultant or a coach or whatever it is, then what some people do is they will stay within what's in reason of what's, you know, the industry standard for what your pricing is, and add a little bit, and then just give that additional part to charity. And there's all these consumer reports that say that when you have a for-purpose business, they don't call it for-purpose, but a business that gives back, you're gonna get more market share. An example is I have an attorney friend, right? So that's a service. He doesn't have a product. He is an attorney. He increased his rates in some of the things that he does and gives that increase in his pricing to a charity. And by having that narrative in his branding, more and more people are coming to him and saying, I love what you're doing. I want you to work with me. I need your help for these things because I love the type of person you are and the mission you're on. And so although he's giving a portion of his money away, it's not costing anything because he just bumped his prices like 2%. We're not talking incredible. But that comes out to tens of thousands of dollars that he's now giving to, is it Cedar Sinai or some hospital that he's passionate about to help these children that have their children with cancer, right? So again, economically, he's now making more money because he's getting more clients. That little bump in his pricing, he gives away, but because he has more clients, he's making more money. And that little bump in his pricing he's giving away, he now has a for-purpose business. Another example is if you do have a physical product or service, like a lot of the e-com people out here that are selling products and services, you can bake the cost in, even if it takes 100 units. Like Tom's had enough margin that for every pair of shoes he sold, he gave a pair away. What if for you, for every 100 bottles of the skim care cream that you sell, you then provide in a third world country, somebody the chance to have their skin examined to see if they have melanoma or something like that, right? Or you, for every you create a give bag. Like for every 100 bottles sold, you have a little care kit that you give to homeless people on Skid Row in Los Angeles that has skincare in it, toothbrush, toothpaste, socks, deodorant, underwear, etc. So it's like creating that little bit of a margin that you might not have the one for one model like Tom's, but even if it takes 100 lotions or skincare bottles to then have the $30 to have a bag that you then donate to a homeless person, it's that simple. It's really not that complicated to do immediately, to where now you rebrand your company as for a purpose and you tell people, hey, buy my skincare cream, because when you do, someone out there is going to have a better life because of it. More people be like, screw it, I'm going to come buy from Josh and not from these other people, because Josh is helping the world and no one else is. And so that's two ways to do it.
Cool, man. Awesome. Well, we got a couple minutes left. Tell people where you want to go check out information about Thrive, information about Cole. Where do you want to send them?
Yeah, I'm just at Cole Hatter. So Instagram, any social media, it's at Cole Hatter. And then that's just one word. And then Thrive is attendthrive.com. So they can just go to attendthrive.com. That's my website for the event. And again, it's September 14, 15, 16. And I tell you what, I'm going to make a promo code for you called BANK, B-A-N-K.
Awesome.
And if your listeners want to go grab a ticket, yourself included, BANK, B-A-N-K, will take off 20%.
Cool, man. Awesome. I appreciate it. I hope you guys were taking notes on this. You know, now's the time. Now's the time to add to what your business is doing. You know, find that extra twist that's going to help provide, you know, exposure to your business, as well as find a way to start giving back. Because the more you can give back, you're going to be able to find that fulfilled purpose of not just, you know, Ferraris and mansions and trips and everything else, but a way to help others, you know, whether it's teaching, whether it's, you know, products that you're giving away, or, you know, something that's going to help you become more fulfilled throughout your life. So again, take those notes, rewind, watch this again, listen to this again. And Cole, it was an honor to have you on Making Bank today, and excited to come check out your event in September. So thank you for your time, and it was an honor to have you.
Thanks for having me, bro. Appreciate it.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, and sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.